You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. McCarty, how are you today?
I'm well, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. So good to see you. You're hitting them long and straight nowadays?
Well, occasionally, yes.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Hey, I'm excited about today's show. I am, and this is somebody I need to talk to, and I need to spend about 6 days with, I have to be honest with you.
I think 6 to 8 weeks.
I thought 6 days, but I appreciate your confidence.
No, I'm here for you, man.
Yes, you are.
We're here to help
out.
And
you know what? The second I start feeling better about myself, you're right there for me.
You know, people listening don't know this, but Mike has an apple in front of him to represent our guest today. So we're really excited. Nicole Kernin is here today. She is our sports medicine dietitian and nutritionist who works with us. She is part of our sports med team that includes physical therapy, occupational therapy, orthopedics, sports psychology, primary care, etc. Just a great group of people.
Hey, can I tell you something real quick? When we started this and you and I first talked, you had told me, look, I've waited and we've waited as a group until we were fully ready to start talking about our story. And I said, what does that mean? And you told me, you said, look, we're going to have everybody under one roof. And we were going to have the people that we want under one roof. And when you have somebody like Nicole under that umbrella with you guys, that tells me a lot about what you guys are all about.
Yeah, we're a comprehensive sports med program unlike any other. And it's when I was a fellow in New Zealand, we had the same type of thing. And I always dreamed of bringing that same comprehensive learn from one another attitude back here. And, you know, we've been working at it for some time, but now we've really got a great team together, and it's huge. And so today we're really happy to have Nicole Kernin with us. She's a registered dietitian. She's a certified specialist in sports dietetics. I'm sure, Mike, you know what that is.
I'll explain that in segment five.
And she's also a certified personal trainer. So she can really help you in many ways to increase your performance and maybe drop a few pounds, but maybe just get you in game shape so you're really ready to perform in those game days. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
Hey, Nicole, thanks for coming. It's so good to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Hey, your background, you're a Packer fan. You're a Wisconsin gal. Up in Waupaca is where you spent some time and went to Mount Mary College.
I did.
How did you – what the journey of learning this, were you interested in sports nutrition and nutrition – for a long time?
I was. I actually knew what I was going to do when I was 12 years old.
Did you really? Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I always knew there was a connection between how your body felt and how it performed in terms of what you ate. And so I was always involved in, I'm a dancer. And so, you know, I realized that when I did certain things, I felt better. So I was already putting that together at that point. Yeah.
See, that's forward thinking. That's what we're talking about right there. So Nicole, why does nutrition matter?
Well, nutrition matters, and I think that we all, if we all have a chance to take the opportunity and have one quote unquote nutritious meal versus one not so great meal, I think we could each answer our own questions by saying, yeah, nutrition matters. Because, you know, food, either we eat food and we feel great or we eat food and we don't feel so good. And a lot of people don't really know what feeling good really means until they start eating well. And then they're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know I could feel like this, whatever that is for them.
You know, it's interesting. Your field has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting from when I was younger to now, and I'm never quite sure who to listen to. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that it used to be really, you'd better not eat margarine, don't eat butter.
Yeah.
You know, eat this, don't eat that.
I hate margarine.
Look, when I was a kid, they my parents used to drive to Illinois for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's how old I am. Be quiet over there.
No.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
No,
Did they drive horses?
No, they did not. We had a car. Mm-hmm. But we'd fit, you know, the whole McGivern clan in there, and off we'd go. But it's interesting that it evolves a lot, and you need to be on top of that, and you need to have your core beliefs on this, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm sorry. So are there different fuels for different sports? I mean, should people be eating different things for different types of activities?
Sure. And really what it comes down to is specific macronutrients. So some sports require more carbohydrates. Some sports require more protein. Some sports require a little bit more fat. There's all kinds of different ways in which you can look at it. And everybody is just really individual.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're an endurance athlete, what would be? I mean, I know you would customize it for the person.
Yes,
but would they be more into carbo loading, for example?
Yeah, I don't like the term carbo loading at all.
Okay, sorry, I take that back.
No, that's okay.
Glad it was him and not me.
Yeah, well, it's you know, people don't understand the concept very well, and so it's kind of an old school way of thinking too. But do they need more carbohydrate? Yes, they need a little bit more carbohydrate because it's the most efficient form of fuel for the body. And so it is also muscle sparing too. So when you're taking in enough carbohydrate, you know, when you are, you know, putting a lot of stress in your body, it's going to conserve your muscle. So then you're not losing your muscle. No one wants to lose their muscle.
Mm-hmm. You know, can you give me an idea? And I've coached basketball a long time and I'm getting back to it. And so it's really important for our athletes and our players. Our deal was always 3 hours before a game that we're going to eat because we thought that gave them the best chance to get what they needed, release whatever they didn't need, and perform at a high level. And now I'm starting to read things that say, you know, maybe 3 hours and then eat again closer to the game. And I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with working with what age group can I ask?
Varsity basketball. So it's 15, 16, 17-year-old boys.
And that's such a special age group too, because they're kind of growing, and you know, there's a lot of things going on for them. They also don't eat very well, and so the thing that we have to remember is that sports nutrition starts with breakfast. Like, we can't just like eat really well right before a game and expect to be amazing, because it's not going to happen. So it kind of starts right when they wake up. And then it kind of continues on. But, you know, as a coach, and to encourage that, of course, you know, yeah, definitely you want to encourage that they have, you know, a decent meal 3 hours before. But then you've got to top off those carbohydrate stores and have something about an hour before the game.
So if you had a group, for example, let's say one of Mike's athletes came to see you. Okay. Would you develop then a customized plan?
Definitely.
For them. So each meal is kind of the idea of what kind of food groups they should be getting and
most
how much.
Definitely. Right. And meal timing and everything.
Yeah.
Specific for that person.
Could you give me an example? Let's just say it's and you don't have to be on spot on, but just an example of game day for a 17 or a 16-year-old kid.
Whew.
He wakes up.
Yeah.
And he's not having Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, right. I mean, he could have that in addition to something. But, you know, really, you know, what I want to see with most of my athletes, but in particular someone who's 17, I mean, they're going to need like 4,000 calories a day, you know, especially for like a high, you know, basketball player like
sure.
that. They're expending enormous amounts of energy. But, you know, you want a good combination of everything. So you want like yogurt, you want fruit, you do want cereals with that. You want eggs, like you want power breakfast, basically, you know, some nuts, all of that. And the reason for that is because it's a blend of different nutrients. So there's sustaining energy there, and it's also getting the muscles ready, you know, to perform. Because you've got to start building your carbohydrate stores in the morning, because we're depleted by the time the morning comes.
So you notice you didn't say Egg McMuffin.
I did not.
I didn't hear bacon in there
yeah?
either.
Bacon's,
you know,
bacon's all right.
Right. I was waiting for the bacon one.
Yeah.
You know, bacon,
you know,
goes
it
with everything.
No, it's
does,
bacon-wrapped yogurt.
Yeah, they're,
yeah.
Wow, that's the newest thing at State Fair. You watch.
Yeah.
They're going to pick up on that.
That's hilarious.
But right, and then for lunch, what the same thing? Are you looking
right,
to...
Right, so you're looking for, you know, sandwich. Again, you're looking for more carbohydrates. So, you know, milk would be ideal. You're getting a little bit of carb, a little bit of protein with that. You want to do some fruit. You know, maybe you want to do, you know, some pretzels or something like that. You know.
You know, that's interesting, because what we did and what we're going to do with this new group, I think is going to be different. And I'm going to reach out to you. And I've got some questions regarding that. But we used to have these, we would get healthier subs from a local sub place.
Sure.
And they could either eat a half or a whole. And I think we had some baked chips or something if that's what they wanted. We were at a game at our place, and we ate 3 hours ahead, and we did exactly what we've always done. And this other team came in, and at the end of the first quarter of the JV game, this whole team went to the concession stand and got nachos and hot dogs.
Oh, my
gosh. And our kids were looking at me, and I'm like, you know what? This is going to work out really well for us.
Yeah.
Do you know, from the middle of the third quarter through the end of the game, they had nothing.
Sure.
They had no energy. Yeah. They were sluggish.
So, Nicole, tell us why that happened.
Well, I would say, too, because, you know, they're not getting as much carbohydrate. They're getting a lot more fat, obviously, with those types of choices. That stuff can't be converted into energy real quick. So, you know, and again, it's sluggish. It slows down the digestive system. So all the energy goes to the digestive system. It doesn't go to the muscles. You can't respond. Your reaction time is going to be really poor, you know?
Yeah. So, Mike, you should not have bought those kids all that stuff. That
was you know what? Had I thought they would eat it, I would have. But they did. And it was interesting because they were a pretty good team. And we handle them pretty soundly.
So what you're saying is, when Mark Sanchez ate the hot dog on the sideline, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, no, that didn't go well at all.
Right.
You're a pro sports fan as well. You're a Packer fan.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, born and raised in Cheesehead Land.
Yeah.
When you watch games like that, do you watch them differently? Do you watch them differently if you see somebody that is constantly getting cramps, or they're not performing at a higher level, do you immediately go to, I wonder what they had for breakfast?
Oh, absolutely. You start kind of analyzing and assessing in your mind. Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, because there was a Packer a while ago that got caught eating a hot dog on the sidelines. And I'm sure that people in your field just went crazy with that. Hey, guys, let's get to a quick break. Other side of the break, we want to talk about hydration a little bit and energy drinks. And I want to get your feeling on some of those and some that may work and some that don't. And I just want to see where you go with that.
Great.
This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That is ELO, courtesy of our special guest.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm
coming back. You're going to be gone 1 week, and I'm going to handle the music. I am. Hey, Nicole, we had talked about, on the other side of the break, we had talked about hydration and energy drinks. And I'm always interested in, what does it mean to be properly hydrated? I think there are kids and coaches that think if you drink a lot of water during the basketball game, you should be fine. It starts way before that, right?
Oh, my gosh. Hydration, again, starts as soon as you wake up in the morning, because we're very dehydrated. I tell all of my clients, whether they're athletes or not, you need, 16 ounces in the morning, like right when you wake up, before you even have your coffee. After you have your coffee, you need like 16 ounces per 8 ounce cup of caffeine. I mean, we can get dehydrated very easily. But in particular, you know, with kids, they get dehydrated very easily. And so many of kids are going into sports already dehydrated. It's an issue.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. And it's interesting, because I think that they think, and a lot of coaches think and players think, if they have a Gatorade, you know, sometime before the game, they should be fine. And Gatorade's an interesting story, Dr. McCarty, I have to tell you.
It is. I mean, Gatorade was originally, it was basically derived by a physiologist in Florida. And he came up with the nutrients needed to replace the nutrients lost in sweat. Mm-hmm. And so basically he devised this Gatorade to help the Gator football players.
Oh, interesting.
And that's where it came from.
Sure.
And the idea was, he wanted this substance to be absorbed very rapidly from the stomach and the intestines, so that they could rehydrate very, very quickly. It's very similar to oral rehydration solution that's used for infants with cholera, for example.
Right.
The interesting thing is that nobody would drink it, mm-hmm, because it tastes terrible.
Yeah.
And so Gatorade actually has a lot of sugar in it so that it makes it more palatable. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on when do you need that? When do you need to supplement these minerals and the sodium chloride and all this? And when do you just need water?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're a heavy sweater, you absolutely can benefit from something like that. You know, and the idea of a Gatorade, too, is that it's a blend of different carbohydrates, a blend of different sugars. And so some of those sugars are reabsorbed back into the system quickly, and some of them are a little bit more sustaining and long. So, I mean, it's a really well thought out product, you know, but there is a time and a place for it. I mean, you don't want to be sitting in class or sitting at work and just having Gatorade when you're not doing anything. You know, that's definitely not the idea. It's really meant for when you are just sweating big time. And you need to, you know, replace those electrolytes. So, you know, as far as kids going into things, I mean, there's other things that I usually recommend too. But if I'm dealing with someone who just is a big sweater, then I usually recommend, you know, definitely have some Gatorade, you know, during the game.
We're talking to Nicole Kernin. She is a nutritionist, a dietitian, trained dietitian that focuses on sports health. And you can get more information on her, mymosh.com or wayoflifenutrition.com. Way of life, one word, wayoflifenutrition.com. And Nicole, you can get a lot of information on Nicole, how to reach out to her. She certainly will answer any questions that you have. Give her a call. She's been a great guest so far. What do you recommend after the event? So after a basketball game, and I'm sorry I keep going back to basketball, but that's where my experience is. After a basketball game, do you recommend Gatorade? Do you recommend chocolate milk? What do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, again, something immediate. And a lot of kids are not hungry right after a game. I mean, like, immediately. Like, a lot of times it happens with athletes. They've just expended a lot of energy, and they're actually not ready for food. So it's a great time to utilize hydration at this point. And, I'm a big advocate for the chocolate milk afterwards. Again, because it's really good design. It's got two different types of proteins in it that are absorbed at different rates, so that does help with recovery. But it also has a longer acting carbohydrate and a shorter acting carbohydrate, and it also has magnesium, potassium, and some sodium in it. So I mean, it kind of is everything all in one, you know, and it tastes great.
You didn't expect that answer, did you?
Well, I kind of actually did. I didn't expect that exact answer,
sure.
But I thought that she would say that it is good after a contest or after a basketball game to drink chocolate milk, because that wasn't the case 7-8 years ago,
right.
But it really has become popular, I think, to do that because of what you said, mm-hmm. as far as it's a great after contest drink.
Yeah.
Do you drink it after you dance and stuff? What do you drink?
she's not a young athlete.
No, anymore. I'm real sorry. I just I don't do any dairy.
You don't?
No, I don't.
That's okay.
It's so funny. It's not because of, like, I, you know, there's no political thing behind it or anything like that. It's just that I actually have like an allergic reaction to.
That's one reason.
I've got a lot of food allergies, so it's just real funny because, like, I'm a real advocate for a lot of things that I can't eat. So
tell me what your process before and after you work out. Are you drinking a lot of water, Gatorade, and then
I never
after...
do Gatorade. But I, you know, I'm also not working out for that length of time. I mean, if I'm dancing, I'm dancing for a pretty long period of time, but I'm not sweating to that degree. And if I am, I prefer not to use Gatorade. I prefer to actually eat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat the right things that also supplement the same things that Gatorade would give me, but better form.
You have examples of that. What would you eat with water, for example, during? Because you see that a lot, right?
Yeah.
Guys taking, you know, chews, the endurance chews and things like that during games. Are they doing that? Is that they're supplementing, obviously, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're using water or something with.
And they are, and you know, those types of things are great because they don't create muscle cramping.
Right.
But you know, you have to know your body. So some things work for other people, and some things don't. So for me, I can actually handle, you know, fruit in between my, you know, my practices and stuff like that. I can handle that stuff, and it doesn't bother me. Which fruit shouldn't bother anybody because it's actually very quickly broken down. But some people can get a little crampy from that. So that's why, you know, things like the chews are, you know, are great in that respect for some people. But again, time and a place for that stuff, because we don't need to over supplement either.
Yeah, and these are things that, you know, these are for sustained events that are going on for
a long time,
many hours.
Days or
right?
several meets in one day, where like I think about soccer, you know, where you have like
four games in a day.
Four games in a day with maybe 30 to 45 minutes in between. So,
you know, it's interesting because, like I had said before, things have really changed. And you had talked about some athletes don't like to eat right after. Mm-hmm. And my son, who played college basketball, it would take about an hour for him to feel at all hungry after a game. And he had early on in high school, he would cramp up a lot in his calves.
Yep.
And he's just a very thin guy. And so we did everything we could, and we figured out exactly what it was as far as what he had to drink when he first woke up to the midday to, you know, an hour before the game. And it was, I was his coach, so I was like, have you done this? Yes, I got it. And once we figured out the magic formula, he stayed with that through college and didn't cramp up anymore.
Yeah,
but it took him a long time it always took him a good hour to want to eat anything until after the game. And once he started eating, he wouldn't stop.
Well, this is where I think Nicole can really help a lot of the teams, right?
Mm-hmm,
this is where this kind of advice, if you bring her in and she can do a consultation, she can talk to the players and talk to the coaches about how to prepare for the games, how to prepare for your training, how to prepare for these hot summer days that are going to come so that people don't think that they'd start drinking water when they're 30 minutes into their event.
Right. Right.
And they need to know that they need to start much earlier. And I think this is all based on sports physiology, which has really grown leaps and bounds over the last 15 to 20 years. And Nicole's living proof of that because she's, you know, helping us out with understanding this better. So make sure you get in touch with her.
Hey, can I ask you, so if there's coaches out there that are listening and they want to contact you, do they hire you to come in and talk to the team? Do they individually learn from you and then pass it along to the team? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
I've done it many different ways. So a lot of times I'll come in and talk to the team. I've actually been Skyped into a team because somebody from like South Dakota had contacted me. So I did a presentation for their team over Skype.
There's somebody in South Dakota?
There is one person. I should say three because they're
all. There's a team there somewhere.
I work very creatively with people.
That's awesome. Again, you can reach Nicole. Go to mymosh.com, and you can look her up, get all the information that you want. Also, wayoflifenutrition.com, and you can reach out to her that way. It's very interesting that high school teams, grade school teams, at what level are some of the teams that you've worked with?
Oh, definitely mostly high school.
Mm-hmm. College as well?
Oh, yes.
If they have interest?
Yes, absolutely.
Boy, that, you know, Brian, when I was at Messmer High School, they said, take a salt pill.
Oh,
I mean, honestly.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Water during 2 days in football.
Oh, that's horrible.
Take a salt, and hey, all fine.
Mike, well, when we were growing up, they used to punish us by not letting us drink.
Right.
Right?
That was the deal.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
2 days.
No, that was the way it was.
This is horrible. No, I'm so sad.
This is what made America.
These are awful
That made us tougher, I can tell you that.
Aww.
Yeah, we would do anything to get some water during those 2 days.
Oh,
yeah. Anything. And they said, here's a salt pill, you're going to be fine.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's what I'm saying, how much things have changed and pure knowledge and the work that you do to be knowledgeable on this is incredible because I don't think people really did much of it back then.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that the
understanding has changed dramatically and it's much for the better. And I think the most important thing, if you're listening, is that your performance can improve significantly, whether you're competing at a game or in a tournament or if you're just working out and you want to go do your workouts and you want to feel good and get through it and feel like you've got good energy. Make sure you contact Nicole or look up some information about these topics.
Do you know another
area? Even if you're in South Dakota.
Even in South Dakota, because she can Skype. Another area that I think has really changed, and I'm interested to talk to you about, is nutritional supplements.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different ways that people are saying, no, do this and do that and try this and try that. And I wanted to ask you some questions about that on the other side of the break. Nicole Kernin is our guest. Again, you can reach out at mymosh.com to get more information, and she will come out and talk to your team or talk to you as an individual coach as you're trying to get your team prepared with high school football right around the corner. I would highly recommend that you call her and gather some information on making sure these guys stay hydrated and some of these supplements that we're going to talk about on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No water for you, Mike.
One of Eddie Money's hits, I guess. That music brought to you by, courtesy of my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty.
It's very topical.
It is very topical. Yeah, thank you for doing that. Our producer, Rami, was going to play Evil Woman, and I didn't think that was very good for our guest because she's been
not.
Very kind. Nicole Kernin, she is a nutritionist, a dietitian, a trained dietitian focusing on sports health. Again, you can check her information out, wayoflifenutrition.com or mymosh.com. Hey, when we talk about nutritional supplements, Nicole, again, something that is all over the board right now, don't you think?
Yeah.
There's a lot. You seem depressed. You don't want to talk about nutritional supplements?
I really dislike this subject.
Do you really?
I do.
Can I ask why?
That's why we're talking about
because
it.
Because it's crazy. Because it's so crazy. Because there's too much misinformation out there. There isn't any quality in the supplementation. The studies that support it are very weak as far as any benefit. The list goes on and on.
So what kind of regulation is there in this industry?
None.
There is not.
What kind of regulation is there?
None. So
this is an important point because people need to understand that when you're buying so-called supplements, they're not regulated by the FDA the same way medications are. Mm-hmm. So when they can make claims that aren't necessarily proven the way that a medication would have to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that people understand that they can say things that aren't documented.
Do you know that's there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this show that stop and say, what did he just say? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if that's really I don't think the knowledge of people thinking that that's the case is out there. I think people think that when they say this is what's in one a day or whoever it is we're talking about, that that's what's in it, and they're regulated, and you're saying that they're not.
No. That's because they're not.
See?
A lot of the supplement business is based on sort of innuendo, if you will. I mean, they basically come up with a product and they change some things around and they tell you it's going to regrow your cartilage.
Right.
And
selling a dream.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's as my father would have said, it's snake oil salesmen are bigger and better than ever because now they have the internet.
Yeah.
And so there. Look, some of the stuff can be helpful, but the problem is weeding out the some that's helpful from the
right.
not.
Right.
So one of the things we're going to ask Nicole is what kinds of supplements might be helpful.
Wow.
So are there any types of products that certain people can find useful? For example, I'll give you an example and make it easy. So a lot of my weightlifters talk about protein shakes, and they
sure.
do these protein shakes and all that. So why do you think those seem helpful to them?
Okay. So, you know, when you think about if you define what a supplement is, it's basically, you know, anything outside of food. Okay. So you're just supplementing what you're not eating or what have you. So just to be very clear that you really can get everything that you need from real nutrition, real food. I just have to be clear about that. So if someone wants to use a protein shake, again, they're just supplementing to get in, you know, more of what they need. You know, maybe they don't want to have, you know, three more chicken breasts. They're going to, you know, have
or,
a drink or what have
glass
you.
Glass of skim milk.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Which has tons of protein.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of people like to do it too for convenience. But mostly they see, you know, weight gainer protein on a bottle and they go, oh, well, that's me. You know, I mean, you know, a chicken breast doesn't say weight gainer protein on the package. If it did, maybe, you know, they'd be more prone to going for that.
What about like protein bars and mm-hmm. things like that?
Again, you know, if someone really needs a meal replacement, or I mean, there's a time and a place, or they, you know, they can't pack certain things, sometimes those can be a fine supplement, again, to fill in the blanks. The thing is that they never fill people up, though.
Yeah, another thing that people should be really aware of is that because these things aren't regulated, oftentimes there are a lot of impurities in them.
Yes.
And this is really not well known, but one of my partners, Dr. Jamie Edwards, used to work at UCLA, and they would run some of these things through their Olympic screening lab. And they found all kinds of interesting things like acetaminophen, which is it's in Tylenol,
yes.
and they found ibuprofen, and they found animal steroids and all of this stuff in muscle-building protein shakes. And so you have to be a very informed purchaser when you're going to buy these types of products, and be skeptical at first, and then think, geez, maybe I should look at reputable websites or talk to Nicole or someone who's knowledgeable to see, do I need any of this stuff?
Yeah.
It's all very expensive, and it's a huge industry. And so it's something that people really ought to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Nicole Kernin, and trust me, you're going to want to go to mymosh.com or wayoflifenutrition.com and reach out to her, especially if you're a coach. I think that to have her come in and talk to these players, if nothing else, for the topic that we're talking about this segment with the nutritional supplements.
Yeah, you pay for your visit with her by all the money you'll save from buying new supplements that
Absolutely.
You don't need.
No doubt. Hey, there's a really good friend of mine who is a personal trainer, and I just think the world of her. When you talk about muscle milk that you can buy at a convenience store, she sent me to a website and said, just take a look at what's in this. Mm-hmm. Before you buy any of that, just take a look at this. It was incredible that she thought that was the worst product on earth, mm-hmm. was this muscle milk. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. What's your thought? Not good, right?
Well, I mean, we do actually recommend it. I mean, the team that I do work with,
Really?
We do recommend it, but...
So
interesting.
So why do you recommend that product?
The thing is this, and I know where she's coming from, because there was a time. Oh, sorry. There was a time where where it was actually tainted considerably. The product was,
okay.
And they've since kind of cleaned up their act, if you will.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it was,
because I would love to have her in here now, because that would be a really interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What about, no, go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just going to ask about creatine. So so creatine is a substance that is often used as a supplement.
Really important, because my nephews are big believers in creatine, so I'm interested.
Creatine actually works. You know, it needs to be used the right way.
Correct.
Right? So
yeah.
tell us about creatine.
It's probably one of the most scientifically studied and just has the most backing, if you will, that it does work. But, you know, a little goes a long way. And that's the thing, too. Like, you'll find, like, some of these supplements, creatines and everything. And it's like, well, again, there's a time and a place for it. There's a specific way that you take it in. You need a little bit consecutive days in a row, because there's like a building phase to it, and then there's a maintenance phase to it. And you would only use it, you know, prior to going into a lift, but you've got to be lifting really heavy in order to even have any benefit from it. You can't go in and use 5 and 10 pound weights.
Do you think high school age athletes should use creatine?
I don't at all. I really don't. I really don't.
And specifically because they're not lifting probably heavy weights.
Right. Well, they are. But the thing is this. Creatine, and I tell people this all the time, creatine inflates their muscles, period. That's what it does.
It's a temporary booster, but it does provide a boost. The problem is that a lot of the athletes think that if you take one dose of creatine, if you took 10, you'd be 10 times as strong. And then they can run into problems with kidney failure and other problems that come from dehydration. And this. So these products are not... There, you just can't. It's not. If I tell you to take one aspirin, you're not going to take a whole bottle, right? The same thing is true with this. If you're going to try to use something like this, and I tell my high school and college and pro athletes this all the time, if you're going to do these types of things, make sure that you talk to a dietitian or a physician or someone in sports dietetics who knows how to get you what you need, right? Don't just do it in the back room and hope you're doing it right.
Right. Hey, before we get to a break, this is a different subject, but back in the day, not that long ago, but when you looked at a guy like Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa,
okay.
you knew immediately correct? Brian, you, or, you know, Dr. McCarty, you did, right? Immediately?
No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and you can't get that big,
not
right?
Not Sammy thing. Sosa was like
he
my
was
size.
Freakish.
And
yeah.
I'm thin and small.
Barry Bonds.
Well, I'm not that small, but I'm pretty small. And he became a monster.
Yeah.
And you see, look, you see this in a lot of the pro sports. HGH is a big problem.
Right.
Insulin-like growth factor is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to sort this out, but, you know, it's difficult because people really like, we all like seeing these gladiators running around. And so we have to balance this out. And people are going to see, I think, some changes in the NFL if they really enforce the growth hormone issue.
I don't know if they're going to enforce it as heavy as
we don't know yet. But they're talking about it as if they are, and maybe they're going to do it because of the concussion problem. So I hate to get off topic, but you know these guys are so big and fast and so strong that this is one of the reasons they're getting so many concussions.
Right.
So it may help the sport in some ways if they weren't 10% faster or whatever it is that they are. You know. But again, we don't really know yet what the long-term side effects of that particular drug are. So,
hey, guys, let's get to a break. Nicole, on the other side of the break, can I talk to you about gluten?
Sure.
You're familiar. The truth about gluten is what I want to ask you about because that's big right now, right?
Yeah,
gluten-free. And let's discuss that along with a couple other. We just have one segment left. There's a couple other things I want to talk to you about when it comes to sports nutrition and just get your opinion on a couple of things. She is Nicole Kernin. Again, she is nutritionist, dietitian, and you can get her information at mymosh.com or wayoflifenutrition.com. And if you're interested in having her come talk to your team or just spend some time with her asking her questions, call her because she would be more than happy to spend some time with you as well. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That band is called Muse. From our special guest, she's been picking some of the music. Dr. McCarty did a nice job as well. Nicole Kernin. She's a nutritionist, dietitian, has been a great, great guest. Hey, the last segment, Nicole, and I really wanted to talk about gluten and gluten-free and get your take on that.
Sure.
There's some people I work with that totally gluten-free, and that's, you know, they're very conscious to what they're eating, but 6 months ago they weren't.
Sure.
And I'm not sure 6 months from now they will be or not, but I'm wondering what is the craze with gluten and gluten-free?
Yeah, it's a sensitive subject, actually. The thing is that you know there was a lot of information that came out, and actually the author of it came back and apologized for it because he actually did not, what he had said was not accurate. But a lot of people are just kind of on this whole idea. People like to eliminate things in their diet, period. It's just what they like to do. There's a time and a place where you might need to eliminate gluten, and that truly is only if you have celiac disease. And if you don't, then you can handle gluten. It's a protein. We can have sensitivities to all proteins. There's proteins in all foods, and that's how we get food allergies. But unless you have a sensitivity to it, you don't necessarily need to avoid it. You know, there's some indication that, I mean, proteins in general can create inflammation in the body. That's why a lot of people like to give up gluten. That's fine. The issue, though, is that if you buy boxed gluten items, it's going to be very high inflammatory because there's usually no fiber in it. And so it still creates the same inflammatory response, but thank goodness it's not wheat, you know. That's the idea to it.
You mean boxed gluten-free items?
Yeah, anything,
yeah,
you know.
I
mean, if you're going to go gluten-free, then do whole grains and make them like you would oatmeal, like you would rice, you know, like that type of thing.
Do you think a lot of people feel better on a gluten-free diet because they simply eliminate a lot of bad foods off of their diet list?
That has a lot to do with it. And some of it is just psychosomatic, you know, like when you visually, I mean, you think you're doing something and therefore, oh, all of a sudden I think I feel better.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to believe you are, you know. But absolutely. A lot of times people do that. They are. They're just eating more whole food. How about that? How about if we just eat whole food?
Do you know, and this is kind of going to dovetail. There's a questionnaire that Dr. McCarty has our guests kind of fill out. It's fun, and we have fun with it. But you had an answer that jumped off the page at me, and it kind of made dovetail with what you had talked about. And you said this, I struggle with so many limitations to what we hear about. So many new guidelines and silly fad diets that just disempower people and take them further away from caring for themselves. And I have to tell you, that became very personal to me. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, that tells me a lot about you and the work and that you do and how much you care for some of the people that you're working with. And I think you're right. Guys like me who have tried a lot of different things and can't seem to get it right, and then you just kind of stop and say, man, this isn't working, but I was given this bill of goods, like you had talked about with, you know, the internet now, and there's so many snake oil salesmen, and do you see that people who have tried all kinds of different things and failed, that they just stop trying?
Oh, of course. I mean, they just feel so defeated, you know, and then again, you know, they just physically get worse and worse, you know, falling
into
a pit. Yeah,
it's really important for people to understand what Nicole just said, because it's easy to give up and not do it. But, you know, Rami is here with us in studio today. He's a great example of someone who's stuck to a plan, right? So he's lost a lot of weight, kept himself fit, kept his knees going, and kept his fitness going. And you have to have a plan. And I think doing these things without a plan is difficult. And it does require a little discipline, but most importantly, perhaps, it requires a choice. You choosing to do something is very different than somebody enforcing it.
Absolutely.
And so diets aren't really a punishment. Mm-hmm. They're a choice that you're making because you want to. And if you're not doing it that way, it's hard to do it.
How hard is it for you? You must have to get to know the person pretty well and their psyche to understand. Look, as a basketball coach, there's players that I can stick. I mean, just kick them in the backside and say, you need to do this. And other guys, I have to put my arm around and say, could you
absolutely
please do this?
It's the same thing.
It is the same thing, because it's almost like you're a life coach. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Positively. Yeah, definitely. Wow.
What's the best part of your day?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what's the best? What's the champagne moment that this was a great day for me?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I love when people have follow-up with me and they come back and they just say how great they're feeling or how awesome their clothes are fitting, or they finally understand. Like when I do a series of different measurements on people usually, and people get very hung up on the scale. And when the scale, it's amazing how much power they give to that number. And so when the scale doesn't change, they get defeated. But then when I take a different measurement, we just found out that they lost 10 pounds of body fat and gained like 5 pounds of muscle, which means they went down an entire dress size, but they're so focused on that weight not changing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's fun when they finally understand that concept that, oh my gosh, I get it. I'm changing my composition. I get it. That's what's very, that
yeah,
feels
cool.
So great, you know, and it feels good that I keep doing these things and all this great stuff keeps happening and it's effortless.
Well, you know, you and I were talking earlier before the show about an ultra marathoner that you worked with, and you talked about how she had tried different diets and just hadn't improved her performance, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got her on a plan.
Right.
And so how did that go?
Really, really well. She's one of my favorite stories, actually. She had come in, she was just feeling miserable. She had a lot of GI issues. And a lot of physicians were just telling her, you know, you need to eliminate gluten, you need to eliminate this, you need to do this. She was doing all of those things and feeling worse. And her performance was getting worse as well. And as an ultra marathoner, I mean, you're doing 100 plus miles, you know, a stint. And so she came in, we cleaned up a bunch of stuff. She didn't have to change her body composition, but her body composition naturally changed. She gained some more muscle, less body fat, and she improved her time by an hour, which is
it's incredible.
Phenomenal timing.
That's incredible. Hey, a quick question before we have to get out. On the questionnaire, when you talk about eating disorders and how challenging those are those more common or less common nowadays, do you think?
I'd say they're pretty common.
They are.
Yeah, definitely. Because of all the misleading information that we have.
And the body image issues, right?
Body image issues. We're seeing it a lot more in sports. It's a higher amount now in men than there ever has been. It's very prevalent, very strong.
When you say eating disorders, is that either way? Is that?
I like to say disordered eating in general. You don't have to have anorexia or bulimia or some sort of diagnosed eating disorder per se. It's just disordered eating in general.
Boy, that's interesting.
Yeah, and just remember that people out there are trying to sell you things, right? So when people understand that the supplement people are trying to sell you something and the fast food places are trying to sell you something. And once you become educated as to what fuels are good for you and good for your performance, making you feel healthier, you'll start to recognize that. And that helps a lot of patients to lose weight.
What's your favorite bad food? What's your favorite food that people would be surprised that you eat?
I would say that I don't believe in good or bad foods, period. Food is just food.
No, come
but
on.
I like chocolate.
There you go.
You like chocolate?
Yeah. There you go. Come on. You got to give us something.
No donuts
is
or anything,
is it true that beer is good for bowling?
I won't eat them. Yeah. Positively, beer is a must
now that
for
is
bowling.
A performance enhancer that the PBA must be in the lookout for.
Definitely.
And wine for golf? Is that?
Yeah.
Dr. McCarty,
not for me. I can't. No. Those kinds of things don't help me in golf.
That's hysterical. Hey, if you want to reach out again, Nicole Kernane, I would highly recommend it. You go to mymosh.com for more information, wayoflifenutrition.com, and get information on her. If you're a football coach, high school athletes, football, basketball, tennis, golf, I would recommend that you give her a call. And set up, did they set up a consultation? What is the process once they call you?
Just give me a call, we'll have a conversation and figure out what we need to do.
Yeah, this is a big part, people, of how to improve, take it to the next step of your performance. People forget about nutrition. You can't get anywhere without the proper fuel. So, well,
and the supplement segment that we had was really eye-opening, I think, to a lot of people. I don't know if a lot of people understood that. Boy, it's not regulated, and they can say whatever they want to say and not get challenged on it. I think that was really important. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole.
You've been a great guest again, Nicole Kernane. Wayoflifenutrition.com or mymosh.com for more information. Dr. Brian McCarty, great show. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you to Nicole. That was great.
Rami Makhlouf did a nice job
today.
Yeah,
Rami running the show.
A little surprised by that, but he did okay. Yeah. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.